I'd like to talk, as pointed out, about the Parsha of Mon. You know that there are two mitzvot that are discussed extensively in the Torah before Matan Torah. The first is Parshat HaChodesh in Parshat HaChodesh in Bo, that's right. And the second is Parshat HaMan, which is really about Shabbat. I mean, it's true, it's about the man, but it's really about the Shabbat. And it's not so clear, it's not clear at all, why it is that before Matan Torah, there had to be a Matan of Mitzvot. Now, it's true that we all know that Sham Sam Lo Chod Mishpat, Sham Nisao, and the parasha yesterday is also about other Mitzvot. There may have been other Mitzvot that were received by Bnei Yisrael, but the two mitzvot that are extensively covered there are a lot of sources here. Oh, this is more?
Yeah, no, these are yours.
Oh, what are these?
These are the previous ones.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Sorry about that.
I'm looking at the sources. I don't know what's going on. I mean, oh, wonderful. You know, there's a story about Rav Yisrael Salanter. You know that story? Stories are good. It's good to tell a story. The story about Rav Yisrael Salanter. Rav Yisrael Salanter, you know, could have been the Goro Ador. Rav Chaim said that Rav Yisrael could have been the Goro Ador, but he had this Bishagas, Musar. He thought that you could make people better if they would just pay attention to themselves. I don't know what Rav Chaim thought about that, but Rav Chaim thought if you learn Torah and you're in the yeshiva, or you're learning Torah like Yom HaLaila, there's no need to make you better. So Rav Yisrael's method of trying to get the Musar into the yeshiva world was this: he would go to a yeshiva and he would say some kind of very astounding shiur. And at the end of the shiur, he would say, "And you have to learn Maseilas Yesharim." So he hoped that, you know, since he established his reputation as a great Magid Shiur, or as a great Talmid Chacham, that when he told the people to learn Maseilas Yesharim, that they would learn Maseilas Yesharim, and that was obvious. So once he came to the Bier, he had like a little group that he came with, an entourage, a helper. You know, in those days, you couldn't move without a few helpers. So he came into the Beis Medrash on the day he spent. Of course, he put up Mar Mekomas. He would give the shiur the next day. He put up Mar Mekomas. He came the next day, and somebody handed him the Mar Mekomas from the bulletin board. Rabbi Yisrael looks at the Mar Mekomas, and they're not his Mar Mekomas. Somebody else's marmakomas. But not only that, he looked at the list of marmakomas. He saw that the marmakomas had nothing to do one with the other. Not only were they not his, but they had nothing to do with each other, these marmakomas. So Yisrael stood on the bima in front of the lectern, and he started chuckling, and he covered his eyes with his hand, and then he put down his hand and he started saying the shiur based on these Maramikomas that had nothing to do with each other. And it was a brilliant shiur. And especially the people who knew that they had put in the Maramikomas, that they had made this happen, that they were just astounded that anybody could do that. So of course he made a tremendous impression. And after the shiur, one of his balabatim, one of the people who came with him, said, Rav Yisrael, the fact that you said a shiur that you didn't prepare for, that we understand. The fact that you said a shiur based on Maramikomas had nothing to do with each other, that we also understand, because you're Rav Yisrael. He says, but what were you shuckling about and holding your head over your eyes before you started saying the shiur? So Rav Yisrael said, I knew I could give the shiur, and I knew that I could tie these Maramikomas together with each other. But I didn't know was it gaiva to be able to do that? Would it be perceived as gaiva? And gaiva, of course, would be against what I'm trying to do, which to represent Musar. I mean, how could I be? I say, I give a shear, and everybody says, ooh, you know, Rabbi Yisrael, like he did it. And that would not be what I wanted, because I was anti-God. That's the story. So I'm reminded of the story, because I couldn't do it. I would have had... Well, I had no problem with the gaiva aspect. I would have been totally defeated. Okay, so I'd like to talk about the man. And as I told you, the man represents the second of the mitzvot given to Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah. And you know very well that all the mitzvot that we keep, even the mitzvot that are mentioned in the book of Bereishit, there's a mission in Chulin, that all the mitzvot that we keep are kept because they come from Har Sinai. Not because they were given along the way. So that if you say, what is mechayev me in Kiddush HaChodesh? So what's mechayev me in Kiddush HaChodesh really is the fact that it was taught to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. Even though before Har Sinai, they were also shown, taught, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ara Kohen, right, the Kiddush HaChodesh. The same thing is certainly true about Shabbos. We keep Shabbos because the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, commands us to keep Shabbos. Also many other places in the Torah. But not because of the story with the man, you would think. So that the story of the man becomes itself interesting on that basis. And interesting what I mean to say is we'd like to find out what exactly is going on. What exactly is going on? So, let's look at a few of the psukim and also some of the Rashi, which will enable us to get a kind of a foundation here. The psukim. Vayi ba'er v'tal ha'slav, v'techas et ha'machaneh, v'boker ha'ita shechvat ha'tal sabiv l'machaneh. You know that there's the story of the slav and then the story of the man. Both of them are about food, but the difference is, of course, that the story of the slav as a story is forever, but has no particular implications. I mean, we don't, you know, we can't, if you're going out here to the street, it's Sunday, Yeshiva University, wonderful. The chances that you're going to get a corned beef sandwich falling out of the sky are quite small. However, the man teaches us things about Shabbat, which are as relevant today as they were at the time of the man. So that the Pasuk says, V'tal shefat atal, v'nei opinei midbar dak mechuspas, dak kakfor al ha'aretz. I don't like to belabor students trying to explain words that I don't understand. So we'll continue. You can use any interpretation that you've ever seen for these words. Vayir'u b'nei Yisrael v'yomru isha l'achiv manhu. All right? Whatever that means. כי לא ידעו מהו ביום משה אליהם, הוא הלך משה לתן השם לכם לאוכלה. So something came down from heaven, and it obviously didn't look like a loaf of bread, but it looked like something they had never seen before. They said manhu, and manhu means mize, maze. There was an Aramaic word like that. Why should it be that Aramaic? Why should it not be Aramaic? I don't know the answer. Any questions that I don't ask, I certainly don't know the answers to. As long as I don't know they're there. Because I don't want you to confuse me and think that I'm going to answer those questions. I'm not. Zeh devar shiva Hashem liktubim v'nev ishiv yochlo omer la'golgol. It says a mitzvah. God directs B'nai Yisrael to take a certain amount. Omer la gulgolet. Gulgolet is a head per capita, right? An omer per capita of this stuff. Ish v'olo tikachu v'yasu kei B'nai Yisrael v'ikutu ha'marbeh v'ameit v'yamodah ba'omer v'lo adifu ha'marbeh v'ameit lo hechsir ish tofi yochlo lakato. Vayomer Moshe aleihem ish al yoter mimenu ad bokeh. Here's the second command. First command was collect. The second command is ish al yoter mimenu ad bokeh. You can't leave any over. What if you can't leave any over? Let's say a person, you know, people like to cheat. They have food for at night, so they take a little bit, they leave it for another time. You can't do that with the man. Can't do it that with the man. Vayomer el Moshe. So here in the story of man, you have also you also have that moment. Not only a tzivui, but the people negate the command. You know, there's a great argument amongst the parshanim. Tolaim first, and stink second. Rashi says, that's not fakert, right? It goes the opposite way. First, like just experience, your experience. First, what happens first?
Stink.
And then worms. And then wormy. So Rashi says what Rashi says. If you look at Rashi, where's the Rashi? Wait, but true anashim? No. By your own tova im, lashon rima, okay. By yivash, harezim mikra hafuch, Rashi says. Mikra hafuch. What does mikra hafuch mean? It means don't get excited. It's no big deal. Sometimes the Torah does that. The Torah says instead of A, B, C, the Torah says A, C, B. Why? No reason. Mikra hafuch means it's a phenomenon. Right? You know what a phenomenon, that's what a phenomenon is. Which doesn't mean that some other parshan can't come along and say, no, it has this meaning or that meaning, and we'll see that in a second. Vayivash, v'asof itliya kinyan shemer, etc., etc. The Rashi says what really happened was, first it stank, and then there were worms. Why does the Torah say Vayorom Tolaim Vayivash? We don't know. The Torah does that sometimes. That's what Rashi says. The Ibn Ezra says. I met a man recently who knows the Ibn Ezra and Chumash by heart. Can you believe that? The Ibn Ezra and Chumash by heart. The Ibn Ezra says it was a miracle. It was a miracle. In other words, in order that everybody should understand that this was not an accidental event, that the man turned bad if it was left over till the next day, that it was not just an accidental event, that's what you do with the lack of refrigeration or the heat or whatever. It was also miraculous. And miraculous means Vayarom Tolaim Vayivash. So here Rashi did not apprise us of this possibility, but the Ibn Ezra, the Ibn Ezra did. So now we're up to Pasuk Tov. Lo shamu el Moshe v'yotiru anashim mimenu adboka v'yarom tolaim v'yivash v'yiktsov alehem Moshe v'yiktsov. So you have like an interaction. Moshe Rabbeinu says, leave it. It can't, don't leave it over. But then Israel said, oh, we're not going to take, we're going to get a little insurance. I will put a little bit away. Then it goes, and they did it. So they did it anyway. Then Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at them. They got angry at them. If you look at Pasuk Kaf Bet, so this is already a tricky thing. That every day of the week you could only collect the amount that you need for that day. But on Friday, you have to collect the amount that you need for Friday and the amount that you need for Shabbos, so that means that there's going to be a miracle again on Shabbos. Just like during the week there's a miracle and the stuff that was extra becomes rancid and wormy, on Shabbos the opposite happens. Since you need food for Shabbos, you're not going to collect the food on Shabbos, then you're allowed to collect Pishnayim on Friday. That's Pasuk Kav Dalet. So an interesting thing, right? This is what happened. So this is the story of the man, and this is the story of Shabbat. Because up to that time we imagine, we don't have any information, but we imagine that this is the first information where Kodesh Baruch Hu, through Moshe Rabbeinu, is telling Bnei Yisrael how you keep Shabbos. How do you keep Shabbos? Exactly the same way we do it today. Isn't that how we do it today? We make twice as much on Friday, and we eat it Friday night, and then we eat the same food Shabbos morning. Of course, we've managed to complicate everything a lot in the last 3,000 years. But that's the way we are. We like the more complicated vision of things. So you know, you have soup on the platter, you take it off the platter, put it on the platter, somebody's to hold it, and maybe it's on, maybe it's off, maybe it's hot, maybe it's not hot, and all these go all the time, and it all goes back to the man. It all goes back to the man, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly could have produced man on Shabbos as well. I don't think anybody would say that it was an avera for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make the man. And if there was a problem of Otsav Mirshus L'Rishus, if there was a problem taking the man from the outside into your house, because, you know, it's this Rishus and that Rishus, we all know that that's a problem. He says, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just leave a little bag of man on everybody's doorstep? I mean, that would be nice. You get up in the morning, you open before you go to shul, you take a piece of cake, and you drink some coffee. It's all in this bag of man, because man could be coffee, and man could be Danish, and man could be anything. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Just from the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo mishaneh, it doesn't make any difference when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the food on Friday, or gives you the food on Shabbos, or gives you the food in a different Tum, or gives you the food in the same tum, doesn't make any difference. Lo nafka mina. There's no difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only difference that exists is for us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us about Shabbos. So what do we learn about Shabbos? We learn we don't prepare food on Shabbos, but we prepare food on Friday. We learn that we don't carry food or things like food from one domain to another, from one rishus to another rishus. And that's how we live with Shabbos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could say, and I'll say it again a little bit later, but you could say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating Shabbos. Creating Shabbos. What do you mean creating Shabbos? Didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu create Shabbos in Bereishis? So if you turn the page, or you turn to wherever it is, there's a Pasuk Bereishis base, Pasuk Gimel, right? You see that Pasuk? I want you to know, those of you who are not going at Aliyah, for this following reason, you can go. There are people who don't go at Aliyah because they don't have Tropicana orange juice. But they do have it now. So you can go. All of those who are held back. I remember when I went to Aliyah, the people told me they didn't go at Aliyah because there was no ketchup. Look, I understood that. That was serious. But if you've been to Eretz Yisrael recently, and you went to a big supermarket, You see, they have more ketchup there than you have in most places in America, so that the ketchup rule is gone. You can't... But now the orange juice is also gone. We have delicious orange juice, fresh squeezed, easily available every place in Eretz Yisrael. So, get your tickets. Okay, there's a pasuk in Bereishis. The pasuk in Bereishis says, "Vayivarech Elokim et Yom Hashvi'i v'Kadosh Oso ki bo shavas mikol melachto asher bara b'klal." This is why we say, you know, there are psukim that are devastating. You know when psukim are devastating? When you think you understand the words. When you don't understand the words, oh, it's great. So maybe you'll find out what the words mean, then you'll know what the pasuk means. But when you know what the words mean and you don't understand what the pasuk says, then they can't cure it. And what are you going to do? So this pasuk says, uses words that we know. It says, Vayivarech, bracha. We know what bracha is. Bracha is more than you need. Right? When you have more. And then, Vayikadesh also. Vayikadesh means separate. Not distinct only, but a separateness to it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yivarech Yom Hashvi'i V'Kadosh Oso Ki Bo Shavas Mikol Melachto Asher Bara B'Klal Oso. But what was it? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give to Shabbos? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for Shabbos? Oh, that's not easy. Not easy. I mean, what do we know about what's going on? And Bias HaOlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the world. That he's not creating the world. Is that enough to mean it? Does it make any difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he's creating the world or he's not creating the world? That is there any change? Is there something that happens? Is there something noteworthy in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu? What difference does it make to me? Whether Kodesh Baruch Hu is creating the world or not creating the world, it seems to me it's exactly the same. So Rashi is confronted with this problem. Parshanut, this is called. I want to explain a pasuk. And Rashi is confronted with this problem, and Rashi says, quotes a medrash. Okay, quotes a medrash, but that, it's still Rashi. You know, you can talk about Rashi as Rashi, even when he quotes a Medrash, because he shaped the way we are learning the Medrash. Or he shaped the material that we are involved with when we study. Vayivarech Vayikadosh, Rashi says, Be'erchol Baman, Shekol Yimot HaShabbat Vayayayayad Lehem Omer L'Gugola. Says the Bracha was the Bracha of Man, that all the days of the Shabbat, all the days of the week, Sunday through Friday, then there was an Omer LaGulgolet. An Omer is a measure. And Gulgolet, as I said before, is per capita. That's how much there was. Omer LaGulgolet. Uvashishi. Uvashishi. Lechem Mishneh. What's that called? That's called Brocha. Brocha is, as I told you, more. I could use other words, but we wouldn't understand it any better. But bracha from heaven means that you get more than you really need. That's called bracha. V'kid shobaman, kedusha also came through the man. Shlo yirad davar bo min klal hamikra hakatuv al shema atid. Hamikra katuv al shema atid. You see those words in Rashi? See those words in Rashi. Amikra, the Pasuk, is referring to the future. Where is the future that the Pasuk is referring to? Our story. The Parasha B'Shalach. The Parasha B'Shalach, that's in Bereishit. Because, according to Rashi, the Pasuk Vayivarech, Vayikadesh doesn't mean anything. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shabbos the way it should be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Friday the way it should be. And the idea that you need Vayivarech Vayikadesh, according to Rashi, only makes sense if we account for history. And what particular history has to be accounted for? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Am Yisrael to keep the Shabbat. And since there's no possible way that Bnei Yisrael could ever do anything that would resemble faintly the Bria, the creation. Bnei Yisrael could not do anything which is the creation. They couldn't do anything that is responsive to it or in memory of it or connected to it. Nothing like that could possibly happen. Nothing like that could possibly happen. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to invent a Shabbat that we, Am Yisrael, could keep. And that invention is called Bercho and Kidsho. That's a further invention. If you don't like the word invention, take a different word, any word you like. It's a further invention to my mind, outside of Briah, which enables Am Yisrael to remember and to keep Zachor v'Shamor. It makes it possible for us to remember Shabbat and to keep the Shabbat. And so, because of the man, when the Torah says Zohar at Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, v'Shamor is Yom HaShabbos, when the Torah says, hey, do something, be proactive, keep the Shabbat, do something that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch created the world, what do? We take one measure of man every day, and we take two measures of the man of Shabbat, and we eat the man on Shabbat that we took or that we got on Friday. And this, Rabotai, is an invention. That is to say, it has nothing to do with creation per se. It has to do with an added merit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Am Yisrael. And said, you want to keep Shabbos? You can do it. You can keep Shabbos. You can make it distinct from the other days of the week. You can understand that Shabbat and Bracha are connected to each other. And so we could say, to answer the first question that we asked way at the beginning, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the man to Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah? The answer might be that since Shabbat is included in the Aseret HaDibrot, and since the Aseret HaDibrot, they heard part of, they heard all of, they heard some of, but they had, the only way, when Moshe Rabbeinu taught them about Shabbat, Zachor, Yom HaShabbat, L'Kadsho, the only way that they could understand that is by thinking back to the man. Otherwise they would have said, we can't do that. We can't do Shabbat. We can't be imitative of heaven. That we can't do. But Zachor, Yom HaShabbat, L'Kadsho, that we can do. Because we know about the man. And you know that further, all the other malachot of Shabbat, all the other malachot of Shabbat are learned from the Mishkan, right? The making of the Mishkan. What's making of the Mishkan got to do with Shabbat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do this malacha, that malacha. What are we talking about? You have to understand that the Mishkan, even though there's Midrashic information, which is a little bit different, we have to understand that the Mishkan has not really got anything to do with the Ribbono Shel. There's a tzivui from the Ribbono Shel. It's something we did. We made the Mishkan. So what does the malachas of the Mishkan have to do with Shabbat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, you man, you created man, you are not able to create. You're not able to do the 6 days of Malacha and then refrain on the seventh day. But there is something that you can do. You can devise within yourself certain kinds of limits, things that I do during the 6 days that I don't do during 7 days, and they're all found within Malachat HaMishkan, the labor of the Mishkan. So you see that on the one hand, man is the one that gave us the principle of twice as much on Friday than on Shabbat. And that principle is further extended to the Malachat HaMishkan. That's the way I would say it. Now, if you look at this, Bereishit Rabbah, Parasha Yud Tet, Hey, which begins with Turnus Rufus, you see that? What page is that on? What? Page 3, 5? 6. Okay, so if you look at that medrash, and I look at it, I want it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines at the bottom, you see that? Amalei kol yomot haShabbat anu nidonim, v'Shabbat ein nidonim. Do you see those words? I haven't got the right sheets here in front of me. I mean, they're here, but I don't have them. Bereshit Rabba, Parasha Yud Aleph. I have no idea. Okay, you have it? Yeah, so if you look at the beginning of that paragraph, it's part of this famous ongoing conversation between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. Now, depending on how much secular education you have, you would either call Turnus Rufus a criminal, a member of the non-Jewish mafia, or you might call him a philosopher. A philosopher who engaged Rabbi Akiva in certain kinds of the discussion about Torah. So one of the things that he asked, was about Shabbat. How come there's certain things you do on Shabbat and certain things you don't do on Shabbat? Mipnei ma'alita kol yavot haShabbat, uShabbat lo alita. Amar lei, ki mi she'ino meshamer et haShabbat, etzlechem beretzono, kanu meshamer eto ba'al kocho. So Rabbi Akiva had a certain idea about Shabbat that it was not optional. Amar lei v'chi amal yesh lachem shatem amelim kol yemot haShabbat u'b'Shabbat atem nachim. Rabbi Akiva asked, Amar lei, now we're up to that part I said, 5 lines to the bottom. Amar lei, you see the Amar lei? Kol yemot haShabbat anu nidonim u'b'Shabbat anu nochim. All the days of the week we are judged, but on Shabbat we can rest. Chazar Eitzel Rabbi Akiva, Turnus Rufus came along and he said, Amalei, Im kitvarecha, Shakadosh Baruch Hu mechabed et haShabbat. If it is true, there is this idea in the Midrash that Hakadosh Baruch Hu keeps the mitzvot. Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell me to do anything that Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself doesn't do, and the model for that is the man. It was the Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, eat omer legobola, that's the amount that was put out. And then on Friday you can eat twice as much, and that's the amount that was put out. So the end of that line, he says, Im chazar eitzel Rabbi Akiva, Turnus Rufus came to Rabbi Akiva on Ma'ale, Im kidvarecha, shakodesh boch mechabed et Hashem, et haShabbat, ah yeshev baruchot. He says, if yesterday was Shabbos, right? I haven't been so cold in 40 years as I was yesterday. And I couldn't figure out how not to walk to shul. You know, I couldn't figure out some alternative to walking to shul. So Turnus Rufus says to Rabbi Akiva, you know, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is really mechabed as a Shabbos, then the weather should always be perfect on Shabbos. How come there's bad weather? Al yarid bakashamim. It shouldn't rain. There shouldn't be any grass growing. Amalei tipach ruchei dehu gavra. He says, you're such a fool, Turnus Rufus. I mean, actually, tipach ruchei might mean a little bit worse than that. But let's say, since we want to be friendly, this is a community shia, tipach ruchei. What do you know about anything, Turnus Rufus? And sholecha mashal l'shnayim shayudarim b'chatzer achat. He says, you know, two people who live in the same courtyard. Im ein zeh notein eruv v'zeh notein eruv shenu mutarim v'taltel b'chatzer. I guess Turnus Rufus went to smicha before he became Turnus Rufus. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, if you have two people and they share a yard, are they allowed to carry from one yard to the other? Of course not. He says they have to make an Eruv. שמה מותרים לטלטל בחצר, אבל אם היה אחד דר בחצר, הרי הוא מותר בכל החצר כולה. He says, but if one person lives in that whole chatzer, right, that whole big chatzer, is he allowed to go from one side of the chatzer to the other? Certainly he is. Again, two people own half a chatzer. A person cannot walk from one his half to the other half without an eruv. But if he has total ownership, he can walk around the whole chatzer. He doesn't need an eruv. He says, Avkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the person who owns the whole chatzer. V'vi she'en reshut acheret imo b'kol olam kulo shalom mutar b'kol olam kulo. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the entire world, the entire world is like his house. So whatever you could do inside of your house, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in the Chatzer, therefore, there don't have to be any limitations. There are no limitations from the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what he can do on Shabbos. So that, you understand. Behind this discussion is this question about what is Shabbat? What is it? What are we doing on Shabbat when we don't do this, we don't do that, we do this, and we do that? What are we doing? We didn't do anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So Tudor's roof is Yechabdat. He says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really Shomer Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing what we do, then isn't it true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would always make Shabbat fair weather, and it wouldn't be too cold, and everything would be nice, at least for the Jews, like in Eretz Goshen, you know, the Jews in Eretz Goshen would not attack by the Makotas. Isn't all of that true? So Rabbi Akiva says, listen, you have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives in a world which can best be described as unity. There are no divisions. There are no reshuyot. There's not reshut hayachid, reshut harabim. That was created, in fact, by us. We're the reshut people. We're the people who, in order to keep Shabbat, have a yearning for the Shabbat in heaven. And the Shabbat in heaven, as we say in the Zmirot, the Shabbat in heaven is a Shabbat without Zmirot, without Rishuyot. The Shabbat in heaven is a Shabbat that doesn't have cooked food on one day for a second day. All of that doesn't exist. Because in heaven, there are no separations. So that when the Pasuk says, Vayivarech, Vayikadesh. Vayikadesh means Vayikadeshman means that there are separations in Olam Hazeh that were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the seventh day, which enable Am Yisrael to say, I want the bracha and I want the kedusha. I want that to happen. And Bnei Yisrael was shown how that was going to happen. How that was going to happen when the man was given to Bnei Yisrael. The last source on the sheet, which I think we don't really have time to go into, is the Beit Yaakov. If you look at the last source, it's the Beit Yaakov. The Beit Yaakov was the son of the Meishiloch. The Meishiloch Geben HaChassidish Rebbe, which I don't think is so bad. No. I think if most of you scratch away a little bit, your fathers, your grandfathers, you'll find Hasidim there someplace. You know, they say Litvaks are great, great people, they did great things, they saved the Torah. But the Hasidim saved the Jews. And so that today, in order that the Litvaks should have somebody to teach in yeshiva, they had to have a few Hasidim to be Talmidim. So the Beis Yaakov is the son of the Meishiloch. Meishiloch is the one who moved, Mordechai Yosef, his name was, he moved to Ishbitz. And he was called the Ishbitzer. His son was Rebbe after him. Right? And the son takes this idea that the distinctions that we discover in Olam Hazeh, Kedusha, for example, is a distinction. Some places have more Kedusha and some less Kedusha. Sometimes you have to go to a mikveh, you have to go to the Meipora, Duma. You can't just go into the Beit HaMikdash whenever you want. But in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is called by the Arizal, this is called Tzimtzum. Right? This is also called Tzimtzum. Right? It's like things are distinguishable in Olam Hazeh. And this is the last thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did when the world was created by Yivarech, by Yikadosh. The distinctions were invented at that time. And those distinctions are distinctions that we have to apply ourselves to. And we have to try to erase them so we have Shabbat. It's because we would like everything to be Shabbat. And we have Yom Kippur, we'd like certain aspects of Yom Kippur to be always, always with us. It's true about the Rosh Hashanah. We live in a world of boundaries and barriers and shifts from one time to another, but that's not the world that optimally we would like to live in. We'd like to live in a world where it's always Shabbos. We'd like to live in a world where it's always Yontif. We'd like to live in a world where there's always Simcha. But we are not able to live in that world yet. And so we get bracha, and you know, we make brachot. You know why we make brachot? Because it's not obvious. We don't make a bracha on breathing, but we make a bracha on eating a piece of bread, because eating a piece of bread is not an obvious thing. There was a lot of effort that went into making that. So that's called bracha. But as we make the bracha, we know that the Gemara says, in theory, we should be able to make a bracha al hara, just like we make a bracha al tov. Because that distinction between what we call ra and what we call tov may not be a real distinction, but that the real distinction may be only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us in this world. So we didn't learn the Beis Yaakov, but I leave it with you and take a look at it. It's very difficult, but take a look at it anyway. But when you don't understand it, you don't have to be nervous. You can call me up, tell me you didn't understand it, and I will commiserate. The man is a teaching about how to live with Shabbat ba'olam hazeh. That's how we know about Shabbat. And it came before Matan Torah, because otherwise Matan Torah would have been incomprehensible to Bnei Yisrael, how they could actually do Shabbat. And that's why Yivarech HaVei Kadesh, and that's what Tunis Rufus had to learn, that the distinctions that are made ba'olam hazeh are distinctions that are made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the benefit of the people of the world. And we fight that. We fight those distinctions in some way and try to make everything part of Kedushas Hayom and part of the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Have a good week.